Didn't bring my Bible on purpose because I feel like preaching now. Thank you, team. Well, we have a wonderful treat today. We've got a guest speaker. One of the things we see in the body of Christ in the book of Acts is that God sends ministry gifts to different churches. And we are to receive them and to receive what God and the grace that God has for us. And so Haley and I got to know Annie Duran and her husband Kevin maybe 4 years ago when we were in South Africa. For 10 years, they traveled with the Rhema Singers and Band. They traveled with Brother Hagin in multitudes of meetings all over the world, ministered healing. And God sent them out into their own ministry 20-plus years ago. And God sent them here. And so we are so, so thrilled. Annie was preaching with Pastor Christopher Alam in Livingston at a crusade. Reverend Chris will be with us in a couple months here. And so let's open up our hearts. Let's open up and receive the gift that God has brought us. And like I say, don't take 5 minutes to decide if you like her shoes or whatever. Let's just open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit and to whatever God wants to do in this place. Amen? So let's give a big, big Miracle Life welcome to Annie Durand.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Praise God. He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is my first time to Zambia. And I'm thrilled. I'm actually a pro. I was here about 10 days ago. So this is my second trip, actually, to Zambia. In between, I went to Botswana and to South Africa and then came back here, praise the Lord. And so I'm absolutely thrilled once again to connect with Pastor Walker and Haley. Thank you for allowing me to come. I'm honored. What a wonderful place. Aren't you blessed? Praise God. And we had an opportunity to minister and to meet with the worship team yesterday and had such a good time. Praise the Lord. So they're helping me out today. Praise the Lord. We're blessed that you're here. You're in the right place at the right time. God always has something for us. Amen. Whatever need you came in with today, you have the opportunity to connect with Jesus as we have been already. Amen. Because the Bible says when we draw nigh unto Him, He draws nigh unto us. And so when we come to church, we're not just coming to a building. We're not just coming to connect with other people. All those things are good, but we've come to connect with Jesus Himself today. He is alive today. Amen. When we're singing these songs about Jesus this morning, this is not a memorial service. Amen. We have not come to remember Jesus. We have come to meet with Jesus. He's alive today. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me invite you to go with me in your Bibles today, if you've brought them, to Acts chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Acts, the third chapter. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to just encourage us, to remind us, to strengthen us. We've been singing about the name of Jesus today because everything that He is in His name. Amen? When you say Jesus, I don't know what your thoughts go to. When we say the name of Jesus today, Jesus. You know, I have the opportunity to minister in many different countries, and there's many different languages spoken, but no matter how you pronounce His name in your language, there is power. Power. Because it's not the name Annie. It's not the name Walker. It's not the name Haley. It's not your name. It is the name represents who He is and is all that He is because He is alive. Amen. So when we say His name, I wonder what comes to your mind. I wonder what comes to your thoughts. does he come to mind, or does history come to mind, or a story or an event in Scripture come to mind? I hope that today we will leave with the understanding that he is the ever-present help in time of need. That he is always here, always available, amen, when we say his name. If you could see him with your physical eyes today, if you could see him, we don't have to see him, amen, but if you could see him with your physical eyes standing here before you today, would you in your heart say, today's my day? Because that's Jesus. Would you be saying, something's about to change for me today because I see Jesus? Or would you be sitting in your seat just still wondering, and when is this going to change in my life? When is this sickness, or when is this pain, or when is this disease, or when is this financial condition? When is all this going to change? Will it ever change? I've been praying, I've been seeking God, but you see Jesus. Would you go, I wonder if there's anything for me today? But I think if we could see him with our physical eyes, there would be something that's just a little extra, because we still want to see, don't we? But thankfully, the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary. Temporary. I love that the Bible says the things that we see are temporary. Because the world says just the opposite. The world says, if you can see it, that's reality. If you can see it, that's the end. If you can see it, this is the way it is. People, I hear this expression often. People say, this is my new normal. This is my new normal. This is the way it is. But if you can see it, it's temporary, according to the Word of God. If it's a sickness, if it's a disease, if it's a diagnosis, it's temporary. I said it's temporary. Because the Word of God is what is eternal. Amen. Jesus is alive today. And though we see him not, 1 Peter says, though we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith. Hallelujah. So let's look here at the power that is in the name of Jesus. Here in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were about to go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Many of you familiar with this event in Scripture. And they encountered a man there who was laid daily, the Bible says. Laid daily. And he was lame from birth. And he's there every single day. So everyone there who goes up to the temple knows him. Everyone there is familiar with him. Everyone there knows he's been there, and he's there every single day. When Jesus was in Jerusalem, he would have passed this man. Jesus would have seen this man when he was in Jerusalem going to the temple, because he was there every day. Every day. He was not unfamiliar to people. Everyone knew his condition, and from birth. And Peter and John are going up to the temple now after the resurrection of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost. Praise God. So this man is there begging alms, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I think that's a good thing right there. He was expecting to receive something. Expecting to receive something. Now, he was looking for money, so he was expecting to receive something. Somebody's going to give me something today. I wonder, have you come to church expecting to receive anything today? Have you come expecting to receive something today? There are so many times when we come to church, I've been the same way, where I left and I received something I didn't even know I needed. I received a word that changed me. Something woke up on the inside of me. Because you know the Bible says that faith comes. Faith comes when we hear the word. Amen. Now, I'd like to give you another translation of that Romans 10 chapter and 17th verse that says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I love that because thankfully, every time you hear the word, the opportunity for faith just grows and grows and grows. Amen. But sometimes I think we get the idea that if we have a big problem, then we're going to need a lot of faith. We kind of look at it like money. Can I pay for my healing with this amount of faith? Or will I need this amount of faith? Well, can I exchange it for this amount of faith? God, will this amount of faith get me my healing? And we sometimes have this idea that if faith comes by hearing, we've got to accumulate as much faith as possible. And then at some point, God's going to go, that's enough. We don't teach it that way, but that's what people we sort of have this idea that this is going to take a lot of faith because this is a big thing. But I like another translation that says this. I think you'll like it. It says, and we conclude that faith is awakened by the message. And the message that awakens it is the preaching of Christ. Don't you like that? Faith is awakened because God has given to every man the measure of faith. And when you hear his truth, it wakes up on the inside. Something, of course, supernatural happens because that it bears witness with our spirit. We've just heard God talk. Amen. And you have the capacity to hear God speak to your heart and to your spirit. And so when you hear truth, that faith wakes up on the inside. So it's not a matter of accumulating more faith. It's just a matter of waking up. Amen. Just waking up to truth. Waking up to truth. So here's this man expecting to receive something. Expecting to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What I do have, I give you. What I do have, I have something. I'm in possession of something that I am able to give you. Just as much as the currency, just as much as the silver and gold, the alms that this man was expecting to receive, he was expecting to get something tangible in his hand that would help his situation. But Peter said, I don't have what you think you want. But I do have something that I am able to give you. I find this really interesting because what do we think when we think of the name of Jesus? He's about to give him the name and everything that name represents. But he first was aware that he had it. And to the point where he says, I know that I am in possession of something that I am able to give to you. I know you're looking for money, but I have something. I have something. Everybody say, I have something. Do you know you have something? We all have something. But if you don't know you have it, you're not able to give it. Have you ever had money? Have you ever had money? Have you ever had money and you had it somewhere where you don't ordinarily keep it? Maybe in a little place in your pocketbook or a wallet or, you know. My pastor always has a little bit hidden away somewhere for a special occasion or for a time to sew it, you know. And so he keeps some in a secret place in his wallet. And but maybe you ran out of other cash and suddenly you needed money and forgot you had it. Has anyone been there besides me? you forgot you had, and you had to either go home or do without, or, you know, you came across something that you wanted to buy, or that, you know, the opportunity, and you need, and you couldn't do anything because you didn't know you had it. So you can't give something you don't have. So Peter said, look at us. I don't have money to give you, but I have something. I'm in possession of something. I know that I can give this to you. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't say, in the name of Jesus, see if you can get up. He didn't say, in the name of Jesus, let's try this. Come on, just believe God with me. Come on, let's just wait here for a while. No. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now think about this for a moment. This is the first account we have after the day of Pentecost. This is the first account we have of anybody doing anything after Jesus was raised up from the dead. First time. And here's a man that everybody knows and is lame from birth. Let's make this your first opportunity. They didn't choose someone with a headache. Let's see. Let's take this name for a run, shall we? Let's see if this really works. How many of you know they weren't experimenting? They weren't trying it out, making a test run. If you're familiar with Elijah and Elisha, remember when Elijah went up by a whirlwind and his mantle fell on the ground and Elisha picked it up and said, where now is the God of Elijah? And he struck the waters. I mean, he just proved it right. Let's do this. That's the kind of boldness you see here in Peter when he said, I have something. I want you to get this today. We have something. We're in possession of something. This isn't just try it, see if it works. Let's apply this poultice to the situation. Let's try this treatment. Let's see if this works. There was nothing about that. They went to a man everybody knew, lame from birth, absolutely impossible. And said, this is what will help you today. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Put yourself in this event now. Pulled him up. Aren't preachers mean sometimes? Get up. Told a lame man to get up. Jesus told a lame man to get up. The nerve of Jesus. Told a man with a withered hand, stretch it out. These are impossible things to do. Jesus never said, see if you can stretch it out. Try this. He just said, do it. Praise God. Amen. To a blind man, go wash your eyes and come back seeing. Do this. Do this. Do this, Jesus would say. Rise up and walk. Pick up your mat and go home. Amen. Praise God. How many times did Jesus say, be whole, be healed, be well? The leper came to him. I know if you want to, you can do it. Jesus said, I will be whole. Praise God. And so, of course, Peter and John had a wonderful example, didn't they? They'd seen it done over and over and over again. Praise God. So he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. So then they all came rushing to Peter and John, because now they're important. And look what Peter says in verse 12. He responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man to walk?" Now, just a few moments earlier, he said, "Look at us." Now he's saying, "Don't look at us. Look at us. Don't look at us. Why are you looking at us as though we did this? As though by our own godliness or our own power." It's not by our own godliness or our own power, but it is by godliness and it is by power. It's what we received from Jesus when he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we who knew no righteousness were made to be righteous. A wonderful exchange took place when we received Jesus. Amen? So Peter said, it's not our own godliness or our own power that has made this man to walk. Verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I want to encourage you today. This example right here, the first time anyone used the name of Jesus, the first time anyone used the name of Jesus, the first time, the first time anyone used the name of Jesus, they hadn't been studying. They had, you understand what I'm saying? They hadn't been praying. Oh, God, when we approach people, they saw a man in need, said, "Look at us. I have something to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he said, it's not by our own power or our own godliness, but it is his name and faith in the name. Now, faith in the name, again, we might start to think, I've got to accumulate a lot of faith in the name. No. The faith that comes from him. He supplies the faith. Your faith does not originate with you. Your faith comes from him. It's so perfect. It's so perfect. God supplies you with the faith to trust him. By hearing his word and believing it, he supplies you with the faith necessary to respond and to receive from him. Oh my goodness. The goodness of God. That he would even give us the faith necessary so that we could receive from him. He so badly wants to, intensely wants to connect with people. His desire is so strong to meet the need that his power is able to provide, that even the strength necessary to receive it, he gives you. Wow. The faith that comes from him, it's perfect. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In the next chapter, he says this in verse 10, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. No other name. No other name. But what do we, again, what do we think of when we think the name of Jesus? Do you think baby? Baby Jesus? Because when we talk about the name of Jesus, sometimes we think in terms of his history on the earth. When he walked, Jesus, you healed the blind man when you walked on the earth. You healed the leper when you walked on the earth. You healed the deaf. You healed the mute. You healed the lame. Will you do it for me, Jesus? The same things you did here, will you do for me? And we sometimes approach Jesus historically. The things you did, will you do? But the name of Jesus that Peter used here, not only had he just received the power of the Holy Ghost a few days before, but the reason he did what he did was because he had a word from Jesus himself. Would you look with me to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter? John chapter 14. Jesus told his disciples in verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's why Peter said, there is no other name. There is no other name where men can be saved but by Jesus. Jesus himself said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet have you not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father?" Believe, believe, believe. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." All throughout Jesus' ministry, you will see him pointing everyone to the Father. Just like here. "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So many times people look back at the disciples, yeah, but they could see Jesus. It was easy to believe because they could see him. Like I said, if you could see him with your physical eyes today, would it change your attitude? Would it change your expectation? And sometimes people think, well, yeah, but when Jesus was here on the earth, people could contact him physically. They could see him physically. And yet at the same time, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." You can't see the Father, but if you can see me, you can see him. He's the one doing the works. Jesus said, "It's not even me doing it. It's the Father in me doing the works." Believe, but just because of the works, that it's God in me doing the works. So even those disciples watching Jesus, they're saying, "Lord, show us the Father." He says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can see the Father. You can see his works. You can see the effects of the Father in me." Amen. So he goes on to say, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. He's talking about the works that he did. Amen. In another place in John's Gospel, in the 16th chapter, he talks about praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. But he's not talking about prayer here. He's talking about doing the things that he did in his name. I wonder, do we realize what is available in his name? Because many people I know, and so many Christians that I come across, know a little bit about praying in the name of Jesus. And usually, it's kind of like we say in the name of Jesus before we say amen, because that's the way you're supposed to pray as a Christian. Whatever you have, you whatever your request is, whatever it is you're praying about, you're just like, oh Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen. You might as well be writing a letter. Sincerely, Annie Durant. We kind of sign off our prayers with the end that you're supposed to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And sometimes that's as far as we have an understanding that we're supposed to come to God and then in Jesus' name. But what does it mean? In this context, in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, this is what Peter was working on that day. This is what Peter acted on that day. Jesus said, the works that I do, will you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask for, that word ask isn't a request like prayer. That word ask means to call for or to demand. To call for or to demand. So when he said, rise up and walk in Jesus' name, he was calling for that man's health. He was calling for strength. He was calling for wholeness in the name of Jesus. Not by his own godliness, not by his own accomplishments, but because Jesus said, if you call for it in my name, I will do it. I will, Jesus said. Just as much as you've seen me, you've seen the Father in me. Now when you do it, it will be me doing the work through you. So Philip said, well, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Peter said, look at us, he's saying, if you'll look at us, you'll see Jesus. Look at us, you'll see Jesus. Look at us. You'll see Jesus. Amen. Look at us. You'll see Jesus. Because you'll see it in the work that he does. And you'll realize that the works that are accomplished is only because Jesus is alive. Jesus said, the reason you'll be able to do this is because I go to my Father. Hebrews tells us that he is the very express image of our Father God. The brightness of his glory. And he was given the name above every name. He was given that name by inheritance. The name of Jesus that we invoke, the name of Jesus that we use today, is not his baby name. It was the name he was given because he submitted himself to the death on the cross. And God raised him from the dead. He said, because I go to my Father, now I am the conquering Jesus. The Jesus who finished the work. That's the name we invoke. The conquering name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the name that accomplished everything that it needed to accomplish. And so when we say in the name of Jesus, that's why I'm saying it's not a memorial service. We're celebrating the victory. We're celebrating that he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He took every sickness, every sin was laid on him. And he paid the price. And he went to his Father victorious. That's the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see that we need to realize what we have? What we have. And we are able to give. We're authorized by Jesus Himself. Why was Peter so bold that day to go to a man that was lame from birth? Because he was authorized by Jesus Himself. Jesus is here today doing the same works He has always done. He's here right this moment. Maybe you can sense Him right now. I can. In Jesus' name. What is it you need today? So we have something we can give you. We have something we can give you. I put in my Bible this morning. I don't have any kwacha, but I have some leftover rand. I have 160 rand. I don't have 200, I have 160. So what I'm able to give is 160 because I have it. I have it. I can give this away. It's in my possession. I can give it. I'm not saying, gee, I wish I could give you more. I don't wish I could give you more. I know I can give you this. Because I have this. People say, well, if I just had more, I'd give it. No, give what you have. Do you know what you have? Or do you think you have to have more? Do you think somehow the need is bigger than the name? Somehow that the need that you have is bigger than what is in you at this moment? That somehow the need is stronger than Jesus? No, you have, we have the name of Jesus that is above every name. It's above every name. It supplies every need. It is never insufficient. All He requires, the only thing He requires, is faith in the name. And where does the faith come from? It comes from Him. This should be good news today. I said, this should be good news today. All that's required is receiving. Because faith receives from God. Faith is what responds to God. It's a spiritual force. It's not a bargaining tool. It's not a currency. It's a response to God Himself. All it requires is believing. Believing, not knowing, believing. Did you know that faith is in the same place that love is? Faith is in the same place that love is. And don't we know that faith works by love? We've somehow tried to define faith and wonder if we have enough faith and where do you count it and where can you measure it and how do you know? But how do you measure love? How do you count love? Do you have enough love for your family? Oh, I don't know. Let me think about it. Do I have enough love today? You don't have to think about it. Isn't that right? It emanates. It's a force. It's not a feeling. It's there. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Faith is of the heart. It's in the same place. So you don't believe God with your elbow. My elbow's sore, so you don't believe with your knees. You don't believe with your spine. You don't believe with your pancreas. You don't believe with your liver. You don't believe with your tendons, your muscles, your bones. You believe in your heart. Same place where love is. So right now, just for a moment, just fix your attention on the fact that He loves you and you love Him. Oh, doesn't that make you relax? Doesn't that just bring you peace? Just the love of God? He's just that good. He's just that good. Wow. And now your heart's open. And now your heart's open to Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you have a physical need in your body right now, would you just lift up your hand? Lift up your hand if you've got a physical issue in your body right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus Himself is here. Praise God. If that's you and your hand is up, would you stand for just a moment? You have a physical issue, your hand is up, you're acknowledging, I've got a physical issue, I need what you've got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We have something to give you today. Good news. We have something to give you today. We have something we can give you today. I am in possession of something I know I have and am able to give to you. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive? You say, well, show us Jesus. Well, if you've seen me, you've seen Him. That's what He said. Peter said, look at us. Look at us. We have something. So if you'll give me your attention for just a moment. Those of you who are standing, are you ready to receive right now? In your heart, where love is. Not with your back, not with your kidneys, not with your lungs, but just in your heart right now, where love is. Get ready to receive. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has been risen from the dead by God Himself and ever lives with the same power that He has always had. In the name of Jesus, we call you whole today. We call you healed today. We call you sound today. We call you whole, healed in Jesus' name. Be whole. Be whole in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, If there was an issue with your body that was limiting some mobility, or if there was pain, or if there was something that you couldn't do that you're able to do right now, do it, because God's already moving in you. We're not checking to see if something has happened. We're responding to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if it was something you need to move, move it right now where you are. Those of you who are standing, if you need to move, move. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If it was your eye, cover up the eye that was bad and look with the good eye now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Cover up the good eye that was good and look with the other eye. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See clearly today. Hear clearly today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take a deep breath if you couldn't breathe well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Move around. Move your back. Praise God. Don't be timid about it. Praise God. He's done something in you today. See, He's already done something in you today. Well, I thought someone would lay hands on me. That's just one of the ways that God moves. He can move this way just as easily. Do you think that He has to use someone's hands? The name. The name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are standing, how many of you can already tell a difference? Let me see your hand. Hold it up. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Look around. Look around. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And those of you, there are some that are, you know, internal things that is not something that you could see or feel, but know the same name of Jesus that you saw these hands raised, that same power went into your body today. Went into your body today. So you say, well, what am I supposed to do now? Some of you just got a beginning of something. You can tell a difference. But all you need to do now to respond to the power that is at work in your body is to say, it's working in me right now. It is working in me. It is working in me. Praise God. The name of Jesus that is above every name has healed me. Has healed me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can take your seats. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't He good? And isn't He faithful? And isn't He simple? Amen? He's simple. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus is sufficient for every need. Too many times we overcomplicate our abilities to believe or our capacity to believe, and we put so much pressure, and I understand our authority and I understand our responsibilities in God. That's all good news. Amen? Because at any moment we can apply our faith to every situation. Amen? That's wonderful. But it's still Jesus. And it's simple. In His simplicity said, whatever you call for in my name, I will do it. Because He's alive today. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? We've talked about Jesus and His name today. The power that's in His name to heal. But the power in His name, in its best form, is in its transforming power to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, then whoever believes on Him would have everlasting life. And as many as called on the name of the Lord, the Bible says He gave them the power to become sons of God. When we call on that name of Jesus, supernatural things happen and we are changed and transformed to becoming His children. It's a wonderful, wonderful exchange. Jesus was given to the whole world. But again, God just is looking for a response from individuals when He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He so strongly wants a connection with people that He gives us the individual choice to make him Lord. Everyone has to make their own choice. The choice is not made by attending a church. The choice is not made by having a family who's Christian. The choice is made by you yourself saying, I acknowledge that Jesus paid a penalty for my sin, that he was crucified on a cross, but that God raised him from the dead. And now I call on him to be my Savior and my Lord. If you've never made that personal decision for yourself, we want to give you an opportunity. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if you'd like to make that decision. So I want to give you a moment to think about it. Think about it in your own heart. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? The only way to know that heaven is your home is to call on the name of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But if you've never made that choice, today is your chance. Today is your opportunity to say, yes, I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want to be born again. So if that's you today, you'd like to make that decision, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand so I can see it. You're just acknowledging, that's me. I want to invite Jesus into my heart today. Lift your hand up right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand there. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. You're saying, I need Jesus. There's another hand back there. You can put it down. I need Jesus today. I've never made that decision, but I want to. There's another hand. You can put it down. I need him. I need that power. I need him in my life. There's another hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Who would like to join these who have already lifted their hands? Say, today's my day. Your heart's pounding right now. I know it is. It's time for your decision. It's time for your decision. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It's time for your decision to make Jesus your Lord. Any more to join these who've already lifted their hand? Praise the Lord. I want to give you another opportunity now. You might say, I've known Jesus. I've made Jesus my Lord. I've had a personal relationship with him. But my fellowship with him has been iffy at best. I've not remained close. I feel like I need to make a stand. I feel like I need to make a stand and say, I'm making a choice today to make it right. We sometimes say we've backslidden. We've slidden away from the Lord. If that's you today and you're saying, I know I need to just make a stand and come back into fellowship with God today. I know I'm saved. I've just not been in sync with him and I want to come back. If that's you, I want to invite you to lift up your hand as well. Lift up your hand right now. Say, today I'm making a choice. Yeah, that's you. You can put it down. All over the auditorium today. Yeah, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're saying, today's my day. I'm receiving Jesus wholeheartedly. Praise God. I'm going to be bold. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Pastor, can you come? And if you lifted your hand on any of those invitations to receive Jesus for the first time or to come back into fellowship with him today, would you make your way down to the front? Pastor, I'll meet with you here. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just go ahead, grab whatever you brought to church. Just come and meet us up front. We're going to pray together, and God's going to do exactly what he said he would do in his word. He'll make you into a brand new person. A new person. All the old things will pass away. God bless you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. Awesome. Awesome. Isn't God good? Now, what I'd like to do is to pray with you, but as Reverend Annie was saying, that faith is of the heart, and so we receive from God from our heart. So if I was going to give you this Bible as a gift, you would just reach out one of your hands to receive it. And so why don't we're going to reach our heart to God, and as a sign of that, let's just stretch out one of our hands towards heaven. That's where our help comes from. And let's talk to him right now and say this prayer from your heart. Just say it out loud. Say, God. Just say it out loud. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. You punished him for all of my sin. You raised him from the dead so I could be made new. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I put my trust in you. I turn my back on sin, on the world, and Jesus, I follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I'm in your family. I belong to you. Satan's grip is loosed. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What an awesome, awesome day.